Johnny Signorelli here from Leave It in the Ring Radio Network with a special edition WWE Royal Rumble 2020 preview show. I'm bringing in my buddy Jimmy Moorcraft. We're going to talk some wrestling. We're going to talk some Star Wars. We're going to talk some Curb Your Enthusiasm. Hey, you know what, man? F it. Let's talk fights with Johnny Sig.
Corner, we have the funk body snatcher. Keep funkadelic in the gotcha. Hard enough that I could chew a whole back of ride. Chew an avenue, chew an off street, an off block.
What's up, buddy?
Yo, man, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Been a while.
Yeah, how you been?
I'm excellent, man. No complaints. Super busy, dude. Like, being an adult and, like, having, like, a full-time job and balancing, like, family life and all the shit that we like the wrestling and the Star Wars. It's like, there's not enough time in the day, dude.
Yeah, I had two jobs up until about last week because it was getting too much on my end.
So
I totally get what you're saying.
Absolutely, and that's why it's taken us so long to come back with a show. But, you know, I'm glad we're back, and there's so much to talk about, bro. And before we get to this amazing, I'm going to say amazing, Royal Rumble pay-per-view that we have coming up, because I love the men's match. I think the Royal Rumble men's match is something to be really excited for, and I'm going to go there in a minute. We got some catching up to do. It's been about a month since we did a show. A lot's happened in the Star Wars universe. You know, the people, the listeners of this show got to get my take on The Rise of Skywalker and my love for it, right? And we didn't get to hear your take on it. You know, would you be willing to share some thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. You and I saw it almost at the same exact time, just on different coasts. And I absolutely loved it. I saw it Thursday night, and then I saw it again about 2 weeks later. I actually wanted to see it for a third time in 3D, but my schedule did not permit that to happen. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I think from start to finish, it was a very entertaining and satisfying conclusion to the saga. Unfortunately, my enjoyment of it was kind of tarnished by a lot of the critics and reviews, which, you know, shouldn't really affect me because I can have my own opinion, which I do. But it was a little disheartening to see, you know, Star Wars is such an iconic, legendary franchise. You know, just the reception it received, I just thought was so unfair, so overblown. I don't know where it came from. I don't think people would have been happy if, you know, fucking Darth Vader came back to life and Darth Maul was there. Like, people would have still hated it. And so that was kind of annoying because I felt like I was defending my stance on the movie as opposed to just generally enjoying it. But I loved it. I thought there were a lot of callbacks. I read all the Easter eggs and the theory pieces and, you know, a lot of stuff that went over my head. And then on the second viewing, I noticed. But I really enjoyed it. I'm sad that, you know, this iteration of Star Wars is done. I know that, you know, we have many more to go on. I'm fairly certain that Rey, as a character, will come back. I think all of the heroes that survived will absolutely return in some form or fashion, either in a movie. The rumor is that they don't want to do sequels anymore. They want to do, like, movie by movie and take it like that, because I think that the trilogy storytelling technique kind of inhibits a fleshed-out story when they have to get to A to B and there's scheduling and, you know, filming and all that. So I loved it. I thought it was really, really, really incredible.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with it. You know, it exceeded expectations. As soon as the movie started off, like, within 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, this is going to be really good. And even my girlfriend, who's not, like, as diehard about Star Wars as I am, but she knows a lot about the universe because I talk about it, like, constantly, right? And she, like, looked at me, like, you know, about, like, 7-8 minutes into the movie. She's like, well, this is pretty damn good. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is really good. You get the Emperor reveal and all this kind of stuff. And it just moves and moves. And it's funny, like, you bring up, like, the hate that this movie got at its inception. And Star Wars fans are so ridiculously difficult to please, right? So it's like, it was like the cool thing to do for whatever reason, to hate on this movie that gave you a lot of description, that gave you a lot of narrative and some storytelling. And of course, like, there are things that are out there that are like, well, where'd the lightsaber come from? You know, that, you know, Rey was given, and things that don't get fleshed out. And I'm cool with that. But it's like, then we have this show, The Mandalorian, and I'm going to tie it into that, which I think is a great show, right? I think it's a fantastic show, but I still am hard-pressed to know what the fuck is going on, really, and who the Baby Yoda is, who I adore and I love him. I thought he was great in the last episode. And those stormtroopers, by the way, they pissed me off. Like, I was at the point where I was watching that episode, and they were beating on Baby Yoda, and I'm like, you guys better stop right now. Like, I was getting anxiety watching this thing. But I mean, I think it's a great show, but it was funny. It's like the popular thing to do was to love The Mandalorian. And then I asked people, like, well, what do you really like about it? And they're like, I'm like, yeah, Baby Yoda, right? I'm like, yeah, Baby Yoda, it's cool. Why is it cool? Tell me why. What's happening? And they're like, well, you know, it's like a bounty hunter. I'm like, uh-huh, interesting. I could tell you a lot of what went down in The Rise of Skywalker is my point. And then people, like, are hating on it for no reason.
Yeah, and it's the child. And that's when you can determine who, you know, likes the show or who just knows it from Baby Yoda, because the scriptwriters have actually went on record saying how annoyed they are that that came into existence. Because theoretically speaking, he's 50 years old. So, I mean, yes, in Yoda's species, whatever the fuck that's called, he is technically a baby. But, and also another little, I guess, promo for season two. You know, obviously Disney is not paying me. I wish they were. But the child does have a name, and it is a revealing name that they are, that they've known from the start, and that they are waiting to reveal. So take that with a grain of salt. But.
Well, see, that's what happens when you don't reveal enough to your viewing audience. They're going to make up their own character name. And obviously, you know, whenever you see – the first time you've seen Baby Yoda, we're going to refer to it as that for now, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Oh, that's a little Baby Yoda. And you're like, wait a minute. This is supposed to take place after Jedi. This is Yoda reincarnate. It's like, what's going on here? You know, so it just leaves the viewer and, like, the viewing audience to just come up with its own name. And that's what happened. And I could see their frustration with that. I also wonder if they underestimated how popular that character would be, because they didn't have toys ready for the holiday. Now, that could be a marketing ploy to try to get more sales when it actually does launch, make it in demand type of thing. But at the end of the day, it's like this thing blew up, man. It's like memed all over the place, and I can't get enough of it. But, you know, I'm in the same boat as you, man. I'm really looking forward to see where Star Wars goes next, you know, with whether it's things on the app, other shows, Mandalorian Season 2. New trilogy coming up. I do think that we get Rey and those cast the characters, the heroes, like you said, moving forward. All right, so let's talk some wrestling, bro. It's been a minute, and I'm pretty pumped for Royal Rumble 2020. How about you?
So I'm almost always pumped for the Royal Rumble just because of, you know, what it implies, and, you know, WrestleMania plans start to come to fruition, and, you know, certain stars get put on pedestals that they, you know, either deserve to be on, or stars that don't deserve to be on get put on pedestals. So for that reason, I'm excited. I do think the build overall has been a little lackluster. You know, honestly, I think that the men's rumble has gotten more attention than it's ever gotten. But I think the main reason is because Brock's in it, which I think, you know, the men's rumble should always get a lot of attention. But you have a women's rumble that there's – so let's put it this way. There's 25 confirmed entrants for the men's rumble. Do you know how many entrants are confirmed for the women's rumble?
I do not, but I know right now, off the top of my head, Flair, Bliss, Cross are involved, but I don't know anyone else beyond that, to be honest with you.
So Natalya and Sarah Logan. So that's five.
Okay.
That's literally a fourth of less than a fourth of the field for the men's. Now, you know, I actually don't mind that part of it, because I actually am annoyed that it seems to me that there's only going to be about either five NXT people or even less than that and surprises. But I'm really just expecting five NXT people. I don't really think there's going to be any surprises. There's rumors of Edge. The CM Punk rumors will never die ever. So, you know, I am a little bummed that there's only five spots open. And for all I know, those, you know, a few of those spots can go to main roster talent who just haven't declared already, which would be even more disappointing. But as a whole, you know, we have some title matches that we'll get to. So, yeah, you know, it's always an exciting time of the year, for sure.
For me, what excites me is, you know, Brock Lesnar, as we know, is, like, one of my favorite wrestlers out there. He's going to be the number one entry into the Men's Royal Rumble. And then if you look at the list here, this is pretty strong. I mean, we have Roman Reigns, we got Corbin, Ziggler in there, Styles, Orton, Elias. They're finally giving something to do now. And Elias was hurt. You know, I get that. Rey Mysterio, Ricochet, Rusev, Lashley, and Aleister Black, who I'm just a huge fan of, man. Like, his matches have really come together in such a way that I'm always entertained by him. His athleticism, the way he brings in some mixed martial arts, and sells his moves really well. And then plus we got Strowman, Nakamura, Rollins, Owens, Samoa Joe. You know, it's like the who's who of the men's talent in WWE. So that's what really got me fired up. Now, with the women's, it was funny. I was comparing it when I was doing my show notes. And I'm like, shit, the ladies ain't got nothing going on.
They do have some good matches, however, like the Raw, like you mentioned, we have some good championship matchups. We got Becky Lynch and Asuka, which I'm looking forward to. Who do you think is going to win that one? I'm really interested in getting your thought on that.
Becky Lynch, and I don't think there's much of an argument for Asuka, honestly. You know, I think that the whole reason Asuka is in the story is because it was built, you know, for a year now. They got lucky where Asuka has, you know, what I've been calling it, like a road to redemption. She came to the main roster so hot from her NXT streak and looking unbeatable. And, you know, I didn't even mind that she lost to Flair. I think that she tapped out way too early at WrestleMania, and I will stand by that until I'm dead, because there are people who have been in the figure eight, like, twice as long who are nowhere near Asuka's level. So I thought that definitely tarnished Asuka. Not her loss, her tapping out as quickly as she did. And it took a long road. The women's TLC main event, last pay-per-view, it feels like so long ago, back in December, I thought was great. It got some mixed reviews online. I thought they just kicked the shit out of each other, and that really put Asuka on the level to deserve the match with Becky. I think it's going to be a great match. The match last year was a great match. I'm expecting a lot of callbacks. You know, the mist is going to get thrown. They're going to do everything to make us think that Asuka can win, but I just don't see them taking the title off of Becky this close to WrestleMania. I think the story will be her holding it for a year. And I think that the few options we have are either Nia Jax, who is on a timetable to return, I think imminently, who there's a story built in there. Nia Jax is really the one responsible for the man being created, honestly. I mean, if she didn't break Becky's nose, I really don't know if we'd be in this position with Becky now. So that is a possibility. You know, what I really want to happen, and if I was booking it, I would throw a shit ton of money at Ronda Rousey, tell her to avoid having unprotected sex with her husband and hold up having a child, and return for WrestleMania in the main event, Becky and Ronda, and have Ronda win the Rumble. I don't really see that happening, though. So who's in a window of Women's Rumble, I'm not really sure about, but I am pretty sure that Becky is going to be the champion heading into Mania.
There's so many places I could go off that great description of what you were talking about there and all these different avenues. You know, with the Asuka thing going back to Flair, and I believe that's where Asuka got her first known defeat after like 400 matches, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And that was pretty wild. And it was very, like, you know, flat when it happened. You know, there wasn't like a climax to it. It felt like it did feel premature. And I was like, man, am I just let down because Asuka had won all these matches and I've seen her wrestle live against, like you were mentioning, Jax and everything like that. And Jax is a bad broad, man. Like, they had some wars. Her and Asuka were going like all the time on Raw back in the day. You know, so that was a definite disappointment. And ever since then, I felt like they kind of like misused Asuka. And I was hoping that maybe this would be the opportunity for her to get back, because they are giving her a little bit of push with the Kabuki Warriors and things that are going on. And, you know, she's winning some matches here and there and really looking good. I mean, I'm always interested in her matches and all that goes along with it. Now, let me ask you this. The Jax versus Lynch, the punch to the nose, do you think that was intentional or do you think that was an accident?
I mean, I've watched it in slow motion. I mean, WWE played it ad nauseum. I don't know if I have a concrete answer. I feel as though I don't think she meant to break her nose, no. But mm-hmm. I do think that it looked a lot more, I guess, shoot than work, as they use it in the industry term. So it looked a lot more intentional to hurt her. I mean, you know, there was direct contact. So I don't know if it was Becky's fault. They're told how to throw punches. I don't know. I can't see, you know, Nia Jax sabotaging her, you know, career, because she was already getting, you know, death threats, and she's an unsafe worker, and she's had a history. She, like, dropped Charlotte Flair on her head once in a match, and so I don't know. I don't think it was intentional. I do think that, you know, she got pushed to the main roster way earlier than I ever thought she would. I thought she was going to be what Asuka wound up being, and then they called her up within a year. And, I mean, she progressed really nicely. I think she's a good worker. I mean, for a woman of her size, I think there's limitations. But, you know, her matches with Ronda Rousey were some of the best matches of her career. And, I mean, I know Ronda Rousey was a prophecy in the ring akin to Kurt Angle when she debuted. But you got to chalk up some of that to Nia Jax, too. So, you know, I think that she's still green, and I think that was a part of that punch. But, I mean, I would hope that she didn't mean to break the girl's nose. That'd be pretty rough.
Right. I mean, you know, I look at a lot of punches, whether it be with boxing and mixed martial arts, and she looked like she turned that over, bro. Like, she was committed when she threw that. Now, I agree with you. Maybe she just wanted to pepper her a little bit, not break her nose quite. But, you know, if you're trusting, you know, your wrestling partner and you're committing yourself fully, and then maybe you overextend, and in this case would have been Becky Lynch overextending a little bit. Maybe she dove into the shot a little bit. And like you said, Nia Jax, I mean, she's a beautiful but big woman. She got a lot of weight there. And whenever you torque a punch like she did with full commitment with some weight behind it, you know, you will break bones. You will draw blood. You will do damage. You know, I do miss her, though, Jax. I really look forward to her coming back soon. Another one would be great to see is Ronda Rousey, man. You know, like, I really enjoyed her. I thought she was really coming into her own, showing some, you know, unique approaches to her wrestling facet. And for me, it's like she was incorporating the MMA thing, which would be the obvious, the arm bars and all that kind of stuff. But I like the way she was, like, crawling out of opponents and using some, like, you know, jiu-jitsu-type moves even while standing and stuff. And it was just a different look. And anytime I get to see that, you know, I'm always a fan. And that's going to, you know, segue perfectly into different looks. Lacey Evans and Bayley, SmackDown Women's Championship. Obviously, Bayley is the champ. Lacey Evans will be the challenger. And Lacey's another wrestler that, of late, to me, is just really electrifying to watch, doing different things. Almost seamless, like just excellent athleticism. What's your thoughts on Bayley versus Lacey Evans?
I think that Bayley has been a little underwhelming for me as a champion. I think that, you know, it's a shame that WWE botched her babyface run because, I mean, a lot of people were calling her the female John Cena, that you can print money with her and the merchandise and the, you know, wacky, wavy, inflatable two-man and all that shit. You know, I think Lacey, I think she's coming into her own as a babyface. I think that the whole, you know, Marine thing works. I don't know if you saw the episode where her kid got involved. That was pretty cool and funny.
I did, yeah.
She's getting a good reaction from the crowd, which is, you know, what I kind of look at. Vince McMahon, sometimes in a corny way, talks about how the live audience is their focus group. And, you know, her music hits, the crowd pops. She's been getting good reactions. I think she's improved a lot in the ring. She's another one who could have used another year in NXT. And that's nothing against her. I think that she's good. But like Nia Jax, I think Vince sees the physical part and the character part and wants to print money without ensuring that the ring game is down pat. So she's kind of had to learn as she went along in main events on pay-per-views when, you know, great that she got that opportunity, but I don't think she was at that level. So I think that you need to give the title to her first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I think the story has been built for a long time. I always say I wish there are more long-term stories being told. In this case, this is one, but sometimes it kind of, you know, dragged out. And to me, I mean, I want to see Lacey and Sasha. That's the match that they've been putting off. And
hell,
it's funny,
yeah,
that Bayley is the champion because, you know, Sasha's the one where they keep, you know, she's performing her rap album. And so I don't know if the whole goal is to do maybe a Sasha wins the Rumble and then it's Sasha Lacey at WrestleMania, which isn't exactly the WrestleMania match I would book. Again, nothing against Lacey Evans, but this is WrestleMania. Any of people on the roster, you know, like an Asuka, you know, there's only so many spots that you can have open. You know, you have the Four Horsewomen, you have Nia Jax, and that's not to mention any of the NXT people who can get called up before then.
You know, you were mentioning Banks, and, you know, with her, I watched the documentary on the WWE Network about her lack of focus. Like, she fell off. Like, she started feeling like, I don't know if you saw this, that she wasn't really feeling being a wrestler anymore. And it was like her lifelong dream. And obviously these people, they're dedicated. And this is something that they invested a lot of time in. They watched the wrestlers the same way we did, you know, growing up, but they actually pursued a career in it, you know. With Banks, like, I watched a documentary on her, and she was, like, really bummed about, like, you know, people addressing her, and like, they knew her, and she was, like, conflicted between her real-life persona versus, you know, who she is in the wrestling world. And then she came, like, you know, snapped out of it and, you know, came out of it and, you know, embraced who she is again. But I wonder if a little bit of that has to do with that, because it's funny that you mentioned that, because you would think that she would at least be a participant in the Women's Royal Rumble or some, because she's been a part of the storyline of late. But, you know, her and Lacey Evans is definitely something that should have happened by now. And the Bayley thing, and even with Lacey, you know, before that with Natalya, like, they're just beating down the same matches. That's a great revelation you just have there for me, Bo.
Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt that she'll be in the Rumble itself. But, yeah, it's interesting how, you know, there were rumors that she was unhappy that they lost the tag titles, that she was complaining and whining and took her ball and went home, as they say. But she has really began to kind of dropped down the totem pole again, which is a shame because her match with Becky was one in the cell was one of my favorite matches of 2019.
There's definitely no shortage of talent when it comes to the top level of women in the WWE, and hopefully we get a lot of them in that Royal Rumble. But switching over to the men, we got the Universal Championship, Bray Wyatt, who was my wrestler of 2019. I'll explain more on that in a moment. Against Daniel Bryan. Looking forward to this. You know, I mean, I'm never the hugest Daniel Bryan fan, but, you know, I do like the beef. I do like the build up a little bit. And the reason why I gave Bray Wyatt my favorite wrestler of the year is not only because, you know, it's not because of his athletic performance as a wrestler. It's his storytelling. From what I understand, he comes up with this crazy shit. And for whatever reason, no matter what I'm doing, when he comes on and that song pops off with the funhouse, all this type of shit, I stop whatever I'm doing and I watch this guy. And I'm so enticed by it. What's your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I think this is another match that they've done a lot of build to. I like the whole concept that the Fiend changes people. He turns Finn Balor heel. He turns Seth Rollins heel. He turned Miz heel. And instead of Daniel Bryan turning heel, he kind of reverted to his old ways. So I thought that was a really clever storytelling technique. And, yeah, I mean, I loved him from the start. I have noticed that they're kind of not running out of steam, but he hasn't been as engaging as I once found him. I think that when he's the Fiend and he wrestles, he's kind of limited, and the whole no-selling thing is controversial. You know, the Hell in the Cell gimmick, that whole match kind of didn't ruin him, but I feel like they could have taken that and run with it, and they didn't. You know, the referee could have said that he stopped it, and the Fiend was so, you know, shocked him. He could have the referee, like, run out of the ring, and I don't know. There were just a lot of things that I would have done with that, and I think that kind of started the kind of making him not as big as he could have been. He's still over. He's still amazing. I liked at TLC, I know we haven't spoken in a while, and at TLC he was the Funhouse character. I thought that was a brilliant performance. So he's doing great. Brian's doing good. I thought Kane from this past week was interesting. There's rumors that Kane and The Fiend are going to have a match in Saudi Arabia because apparently they're going back there in February, so that'll be interesting. But I think this is another short bet that Wyatt is going to win.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the thing about Saudi Arabia, you know, you got me thinking here. It's happening not only in WWE, it's happening now in boxing. And it's just so much money involved over there. These guys are really trying to invest in sports and, you know, just get, like, these big attractions over there. And they do quite well. You know, I'm not particularly a fan of it, not because of any kind of political divide or anything like that. I'm not even going to go there on this show. But it's just, like, what I hate about it is that it starts too damn early in the day. It's like, I'm trying, you know, if I was off, I'd be happy with it. But usually I'm working, right? Now, Sundays for wrestling, it's okay. Like, if it starts a little bit early, you know, I could deal with that. But with the boxing, it's usually on a Saturday. So they're starting Saudi Arabia, like, 2, 2.30, 3 o'clock, the main event goes off. I'm still working. So then my Twitter blows up, my Facebook blows up, everything's blowing up. And I know the result when I get home. I'm like, damn, I'll still watch it, but it just takes some of the buzz away. And another thing is, too, it's like I just feel like the crowd is not as excitable as an American crowd. That is one thing I will go on record to say. Like, I love, like, when you see things that are hype, like you get to certain areas and people are cheering and celebrating. It's like it's so quiet. Like, sometimes, like, the last one we saw in Saudi Arabia for WWE, at least, was very excitable. And I think it's because the women had their first match there, and that really, you know, lit up the crowd and gave them something to buzz about, as they should, because that was my match of the year. In my opinion, just because of what it meant to wrestling, what it meant to women, what it meant to just freedom in general, right? Not to get too corny. But it's like I like things like, you know, give it to me in Europe. Give it to me in Canada. Give it to me in America. It's like over there, it seems like a complete different world. Anyway, we have other things to discuss on this card. Oh, fan fatigue. Here we go. Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin. Now, Corbin's funny. I've had enough of this shit. What says you, bro?
Yeah, I'm pretty much over it. I'm in shock that this has taken up a spot on the Rumble card.
Right. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. It's false count anywhere, which I guess they think will make us care more. I don't know. I don't want it to happen. And again, I think it's very clear that Roman's going to win.
Yeah. Do you think they just put this on, like, the warm-up show, like the kickoff? When I saw this announced, I was, yeah, I know, right? Because it is Roman, but I'm like, damn, you know, that's one thing, and I'll go on like a short little rant here, is that I like Corbin, and when he's used right, he's funny, he can wrestle a little bit, but they just, the SmackDown, I think the SmackDown's biggest mistake on Fox since the launch, like the episodes have, in my opinion, gotten like steadily worse. They declined. Like the first one was great with The Rock. The second one actually went to live, so it was amazing because I was there. But after that, I kind of like, I was like, eh. And it has its moments. And it does have some good matchups here and there. But to lead off the majority of your shows with Corbin every week is like, man. And then this thing with Roman Reigns, it's like, all right, come on, Roman. Let's you know, kick the dog canned foods out of your face and kick these guys' ass and move on to the next thing. And it's more or less my frustration because I love Roman Reigns. I think he's a great wrestler, and I also think that his story is fantastic, you know, beating certain illnesses he had over the years. And the way he goes and visits children's hospital, he's a good guy. It's hard not to root for a guy like that. You know, so I just wish they would give him something to do. Hopefully this puts it to bed with Roman Reigns and Corbin. We got some other matches there. We got Nakamura versus Strowman. This is an odd one. For the Intercontinental Championship. What are your thoughts on this?
I didn't recall seeing this as a match that is announced. They're both in the Rumble.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was wondering the same thing, right? And
I'm
saw,
on
I looked at,
I don't see it.
Yeah, but then you got, they have also, this is, I was actually going to ask you this question, because they have Roman Reigns in the Rumble too, but they also have him slated to fight Corbin. You know,
yeah, that match,
like,
is definitely happening. They've been building to that. I don't know if they've talked about on TV if Nakamura and Strowman are going to have a match.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, if it happens, Strowman is going to win.
I would think so.
But I think you got to put Nakamura in the Rumble because he's won it already. So that would kind of be, you know,
right.
Ridiculous to have the guy who won that in it.
Yeah, this could be just like last-minute rumors going in, maybe something that people feel is going to be like a walkout type situation. I think it would be interesting because of the contrast of the styles. But then again, it's like I'm hard-pressed to see anyone, you know, that is the size of Nakamura beat Strowman. I mean, one match I would love to see, my dream match in WWE, and I hope we get it at some point in time. Give me Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman, straight up, classic, you know, pinfall wins. That's it. Like, I want some old school wrestling between Strowman and Brock Lesnar. That would be my dream match. What's one of your matchups you would like to see if you were fighting matchmaker for WWE?
Well, so they've actually done Strowman and Lesnar a few times, mm-hmm. but the fans aren't happy with it because they kind of were squashes. Strowman kind of got the shit kicked out of them. So I mean, I agree with your sentiment of having an actual competitive match, but they have done.
Right.
I think two singles matches, maybe one, and then they've been in a few multi-man matches. I'd love to see like an Adam, like, are we talking current roster?
Current roster, yeah.
Jeez, God, I feel like with NXT, there's so many possibilities, but I think Ricochet and Rey Mysterio before Rey Mysterio
goes
away.
That's
the one I want to see. And then for the women, I mean, I'm dying for Bianca Belair to get on the main roster because I feel like her and Sasha, her and Charlotte can have some absolute amazing matches.
Oh, I totally agree there. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I agree too. NXT, like, we were getting them crossing over a little bit, and they kind of faded that out. And right now I really feel like my content that I'm enjoying the most from WWE, outside of – I am a big fan of NXT. But, you know, storytelling-wise and just, like, on the main stage, I think Raw's just dominating SmackDown right now with just better stories. Like, don't get me wrong. I do fast-forward through some shit. Like, there's some things I'm just like, I'm so over this, whatever. But the overall, like, you know, it's hooking me in. The overall narrative has me watching the red brand more than the blue. Which one are you favoring right now?
I agree. Raw has really stepped up a bit, and I've been really enjoying
yep.
Raw more. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I'm actually quite surprised because, like, Fox right now, who, you know, I know Disney just, you know, bought 20th Century Fox and all that type of stuff, but I don't believe that Disney has a stronghold yet on their sports franchise because I was reading some business article about, like, there could be a certain monopoly that they can't play into, so they have to kind of fabricate, like, if it's, you know, the Disney brand, so they're still sticking with Fox. Anyway, that's another story for another point in time. The point I'm getting at is that I thought that Fox would, like, really roll it out, like, in a big way, like they did with having The Rock come out.
on the first show. I was like, damn, this is going to be ridiculous. You know, you got The Rock in episode one coming right out and, you know, shitting on Corbin. I thought that was funny as hell. And then, you know, you look fast forward a couple weeks down the line, it just kind of started thinning out. And I bring all this up about Fox is because the prime of football season, we're, you know, a week away from the Super Bowl. And we had football season all year while SmackDown was going. And Fox also promotes a lot of boxing matches, some really big deal pay-per-views, and some major events they put on their air in the sport of boxing. And it's like you would figure that they would try to their best to try to get, like, the audience from the football, from the boxing or whatever, and put on their best product during this time where all these things are popping off. And I was shocked that it's been like, you know, like, not that great. Like, the matches are good. Like, when you give me some Lacey Evans and shit, like, I'm in. You give me, like, you know, some Roman Reigns, I'm in, you know, even though I'm tired of him wrestling the same people. So, yeah, it's not bringing me in like Raw's bringing me in, you know. So hopefully they fix that SmackDown kind of, like, lackluster, like, plot point that they're on right now.
Yeah, no, I hope so, too. I thought SmackDown had some real potential, and the women's division is kind of non-existent. The tag team division is great on SmackDown. Usos just returned. What do you think about the storyline with Mandy Rose and Otis?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. That's a good one. I'm digging it. What about you?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I don't mind watching her wrestle at all. It's funny because my girlfriend and her daughter watch the Divas show. And if I'm not mistaken, like, she's a very interesting character to watch. Like, she gets a little floppy with the wine. Am I wrong here?
No, you're right. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. It's a guilty pleasure. I didn't think I'd get involved in it. But then it comes on. It's like a hot mess, train wreck, car disaster. You know, that you have to look at. It's a lot of fun. But speaking of a lot of fun, man, it's always great having you on. You caught up with Curb Your Enthusiasm, huh? You saw episode number one?
Yes, I did.
Dude,
he
is totally off the rails.
Yeah. The writing for that show was just incredible. The whole Trump element to it. And he is
Make America Great
God.
Again. It's like,
Jesus Christ. He's so good.
It's amazing that, you know, this show – Curb Your Enthusiasm started, I think it was in 2000. So we're talking 19 years, and he still is able to offend you, make you laugh, make you feel awkward, and just do it in, like, ways that don't feel fatigued. I think that's the brilliance about him. Like, when he went in directions today when I was watching the show that he went in, I'm like, really? Wow, this is fucking brilliant. Like, this guy is a mastermind, you know, comedian. And script writer and just a fun comedic actor. And him and Leon, man, like, their chemistry is unbelievable.
Yeah.
When he came home and Leon's like, they know garage sales at, you know, this time of the hour. This is tapping hour. I come home, I tell everyone my news. I tell everyone I'm tapping. You were tapping. You were tapping, Larry. Like, this is fucking unbelievable.
So good. So good. Yeah, he's such a good show. And a lot of it came from to Miami.
Yeah. Which is phenomenal to consider because it's witty, it's sharp. I mean, it's after all these years, and obviously they took hiatus here and there, but for them to have such a strong first episode in the 10th season after 20 years, like, damn.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
One of my favorite shows, always.
Oh, God, he's the absolute best, man. And, you know, it just – his delivery, and if you haven't seen it yet, I don't want to spoil too much for you, but get on it. If you haven't watched Curb Your Enthusiasm ever, I highly recommend start with season one. I'm pretty sure they all stand the test of time. I mean, there might be some things that are a little dated, but, you know, I'm hard-pressed to ever remember, like, watching a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode and being like, well, that wasn't very good.
No. And they're so short that it's hard for that to even happen.
Yeah, and, you know, you hit the nail on the head, too. Like, they tied in so much. They gave you so much in this episode, like so many plot points, so many with you know, what was it, Mocha Joe and, you know, it's just that and then him and Cheryl. And it's just like the sexual abuse thing. You know, it's like, damn, they just like set this table. So, yeah, Larry David, man, you know, he's great. He's always great. You're always great. I always appreciate you coming on, man. I'm looking forward to wrapping this thing up. You know, on Tuesday, the whole review of the Royal Rumble, WWE 2020, you know, all your post-fight thoughts, my post-fight thoughts coming at you next week. As always, brother, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much. Look forward to talking next week.
Absolutely, brother. Have a great night.
You too, bud.
Talk to you soon, man. Later.